Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing and privilege to be here at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. You very blessed church, great people. Thank you so much for the present. We got the present from the church. Kids enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it. We had a great fellowship yesterday with Pastor Isaac. God gave a great pastor. He's a great man of God, and we met for 24 hours talking on the phone and texting. He loves the Lord, your shepherd, but a good man of God. And God bless you. We saw the building, walk around, great building, and your plans for the future. God is doing great, great work here. Continue the good work. Continue serving the Lord faithfully, and He'll bless you even more and more. First, I would like to preach on the Great Commission, bring the message, and then in the end, I'll share about God's work in Belarus, what He's doing there. Pastor said, God gave me great godly wife, Irina, and two great kids, Elisha and Esther, and they have a lot of energy. We pray that God will give us wisdom to direct this energy in the right direction so they will grow up to be missionaries and church planners. We're members at Flatwoods Missionary Baptist Church, Mountain View, Arkansas, sent out by Flatwoods Missionary Baptist Church. Joe Morrell is our pastor, great man of God, and it's a blessing to be part of that church and that ministry. All right, we're going to look at the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Let's open Book of Matthew, chapter 28. We're going to look verses 18, 19, and 20. When we are talking about Great Commission, it's a great calling to be a pastor, great calling to be a missionary, great calling to be a deacon and music director, but God calls every member in the church to go out and make disciples. Amen. It would be nice when we receive the Lord, when we believe, when we get born again, when we repent, when Jesus indwells us by His Holy Spirit, right there in the twinkling of an eye, we be with the Lord. Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm ready to go home, I'm ready to be with the Lord, but I am more needed here. I'm going to stay here and for the furthering of the gospel." We are His body. We are His feet. We are His hands. We are His ears. We are His lips. He left us here on earth for the purpose. We are in this sinful body, and it's getting old and getting sick. We pray for the sick. We live in this sinful world. It's getting more and more sinful. As in U.S., same in Belarus. We talked yesterday, even more in Belarus. Immorality and drinking and sin abounds more and more. And we are called to be light and salt and His vessels. Amen. To go out and make disciples. Jesus Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." He finished the work of redemption, of salvation on the cross. And we read in the book of Hebrew, He sit down at the right hand of Father. Amen. What does it mean, sit down? He finished the job. And He left us here as His body continue to do His work. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." When we look at the verse 18, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In the other translation it says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." What does it mean, power? What does it mean, authority? Have you thought about it? Well, when we think about power and authority, we think government, we think police department, and it's kind of right if we come to the earth, an earthly example. Let's say there is a repair here on the road. What's the road you got here? BB Road. Right here on the road, there is a repair, and the road is closed, and you got a little tiny short police officer, and he's doing his duty, and he directs traffic to the right, to go around this road right here by the church. And you got a little tiny driver, like a girl over there, driving a little moped, little tiny moped. And she obeys, even if it's a short police officer, he has the badge, he's the officer of the United States, obeys, goes to the right, where police officer directs. Now you got a bigger guy, like over there, bigger, driving Harley Davidson, big bike. But he still obeys, goes to the right, where police officer show. Now we got bigger vehicle, like Honda Civic, Chevy Cavalier, or Chevy Lumina. Obeys it, goes to the right. Now we got bigger vehicle, like Chevy Suburban, Dodge Ram truck, those big trucks. Obeys it, goes to the right. Now we got the guy from that wild, wild west, from California, Oregon, Colorado. And he's driving big semi, and he got lost here in Oklahoma. And he got here driving by the church, and he come to this intersection where police officer shows to go to the right. And he's from the Wild West. He's thinking, well, I'm going to be late with my load. I'm going to lose diesel. I got lost anyways. What this little short, tiny guy going to do to me? He decide to disobey and go straight. What's going to happen next? He's going to jump in the car, start chasing him. If it's not enough, he's going to call for backup. It's going to be 2-3 cars chasing this guy. If it's not enough, he's going to call army. It's going to be tanks standing here trying to stop this guy. If it's not enough, F-16 going to fly over this semi-truck, but he's going to be brought down to the authority of the United States. It's not little tiny short police officer. He has the authority and government of United States standing behind him. Police Department, Navy, U.S. Air Force, Army, FBI, CIA, all the U.S. government stands behind him. That's called authority. That's power. That's here on earth. Jesus Christ is saying here, I have power and authority in heaven and on the earth. And he's saying to us, you're not just little tiny simple members of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. You are sent out by God, by Jesus Christ. His power, his authority, his strength stands behind you. Jesus Christ saying, I have all power, all authority in heaven and on the earth. When we open the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15, 19, it says there, all things were created for him, by him, and through him. He is the creator. He is God. It says there, fullness of God dwell in him. He is the head of the body. He is God in the flesh here on earth. He has absolute power and authority in heaven. Nobody, no one can change his plan. No one can stand against Jesus Christ. What he wrote in his word, nobody, no one can change it. What he said, it will happen because he has absolute power and authority. Everything under his control. Everything under his power in heaven and on the earth. You might say, oh, Brother John, I understand Jesus Christ is God. He got all this angel, archangel. He's a creator. He created galaxies and billion, billion galaxies, billion stars. He's great, big God. I understand his power. But here on earth, in my personal life, it seems sometimes Jesus Christ is far. It seems like I'm going through sickness by myself. I'm going through these financial troubles by myself. I'm going through these family issues by myself. But Bible says even a hair not going to fall from our head without his will. All our hairs are numbered. You know, we go take a shower, look at the bathtub, so many hairs. But God said he numbered all of them. It means for us, he's involved in our lives to minute details. Even hair not going to fall without his will. He has absolute power and authority in our personal lives. So he said here, he has all power and authority in heaven and on the earth in our personal life. And also not only in our personal life here on earth, he has absolute power and authority above all the leaders, commanders, and countries. Let's say, who is the big trouble today? Putin, the president of Russia. tried to fight with the West, took the Crimea, tried to keep Ukraine from going to the freedom. He's under control of Jesus Christ. Let's say Alexander Lukashenko, president of Belarus, where we serve, and he goes with Putin towards the communists. He doesn't like Christians. I've been threatened to be deported from that country. We do it underground, under control of Jesus Christ, Alexander Lukashenko. Let's say Barack Obama, under control of Jesus Christ. This ISIS and all this Muslim movement, under control of Jesus Christ. Let's go back. Greatest leader of the past, Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, Mao Zedong. Let's go back more. Nero, under control of Jesus Christ. Where are they? Dead, answering God for their deeds. Jesus is in control. He is on the throne. He has absolute power in heaven and on the earth. Let's go back even more when we open book of Daniel chapter 4. It was the greatest kingdom, golden kingdom. The vision, it was like a golden head. Kingdom of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. He overcame the Jews. He destroyed the temple that Solomon built. And in one point of his life, he walks on his palace and he says, look at this great Babylon I build. I am in control. I am in authority. And he lifts himself up, almost like Most High God. And God said, what? Who is in control? Who is in authority? Go eat the grass for 7 years like an ox. And we read in the Bible, Daniel chapter 4, he got the mind of an animal. His nail grew like a claws of the bird. His hair grew like a lion's. And he was eating the grass for 7 years like an ox. We need to go back and understand he's the greatest leader. He's the smartest commander. He's the richest guy. He took and overcame all the world. He got the riches. He got everything under his feet in this world. And when he lifts himself high, God said, what? You're doing my work. I'm punishing Israel for disobeying me, and I'm using you for my glory. And then when he went through this humbling experience and he understood that he is not in the control and authority, he's lifted himself up, eyes up to heaven, he said, now I understand who's in control, who's in authority. And he bowed down before God of Daniel, God of Israel. And he realized that God is in authority, God in control. He has absolute power and authority in heaven and on the earth. Dear brothers and sisters, this is very important truth we need to grasp with. We need to understand. We need to comprehend that we are not simple little members of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. We are sent out by God, by Jesus Christ. His power, His authority behind you, and we'll see later, He's going with you. He's sending you out. And sometimes you can say, oh, I don't have education. Sometimes it's just simple. What He's asking us to do, just invite people to the church. And Pastor Isaac is going to share the gospel. Sometimes just give it a track. Give it a New Testament, or tell people what God did in your life, how He changed your life. And you know the gospel message. You know what Jesus did on the cross. You know who is the man, absolute sinner. And you know Jesus is the bridge. He's in the middle. Salvation in Him. He paid the price in full. Present the gospel message. That's our calling. But Jesus is asking here us, and He's saying us, He's sending us. He stands behind us with all power and authority in heaven and on the earth. That's very, very important truth. And then he continued in verse 19. When we understand the truth of verse 18, he said, go ye therefore and teach all the nations. In the other translation it says, go ye therefore and make disciples. This verb go, it's a verb of command. He's asking us to do something. You know, it's nice, you got a great building, you got a soft pews. It's nice, sit and listen to the message. Nice to listen to the Pastor Isaac, and sometimes missionary comes like Brother John, and listen to it. But Jesus Christ is asking us here to go. Amen. For the asking, for action, to do something. And this our calling to go out and make disciples. And like I said before, it's simple, to go out and invite people to the church. Build relationship with neighbors, co-workers, co-students, and share with them what God did in your life, how He changed your life. This is the verb of action, to go. And trust Him. He's sending you. He's standing behind you. We need to understand enemy gonna fight against us. He does not want us to go, and he'll bring excuses. Because we're about to bring people from the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. It's going to be people coming from his kingdom to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and he's going to fight against this. And he's slick. He's going to say, oh, no. He's going to bring excuses. Oh, no. You got to pay off your credit cards. Oh, you got to take care of your family issue. Oh, you got to take care of your health. Oh, you got to put your kids through education. You got to put your grandkids through education. Oh, you got to sell the house. Oh, a little bit later when your kids grow up bigger. And all kind of issues he's going to bring on to keep us in our comfort zone. We got to step out from our comfort zone and trust Jesus Christ and go out. That's our calling. Amen. And we need to go back in the verse 18, what the power and authority we have, who stands behind us. Right. Jesus said, I have all power and authority in heaven and on the earth, in your personal life, to minute details. Even hair not going to fall without my will. I'm going to take care of your credit cards. I'm going to take care of your health issue, your family issue, putting your kids through education, grandkids through education, solving your selling or buying house, or when your kids grow up bigger. I will take care of all this issue because I am God. Amen. All cells in my control. I am the creator. Look at the Jesus life. He fed 5,000, fed 4,000. Today in the Bible morning Bible study, he raised a dead man. Jesus Christ is God, he said, and the servant was healed. Just trust the Lord. It's question, do we trust God? And trust him and obey. And he'll take care of the issue. He'll take care of the issue. I like the great example who was obedient to the Great Commission, Apostle Paul. Let's open book of Romans chapter 1 and look at the life of Apostle Paul, how he was obedient to the Great Commission, and he went. And he went, and he was not sitting in his comfort zone. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. I am debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here in verse 14, Paul said, I am debtor. In the other translation, it says, I am under obligation. He's saying here, it is my duty, it is my debt, it is my obligation, it is my calling, it is my great commission from Jesus Christ. He said, that's what I called to do. I am in debt, I am under obligation. And in verse 15, he continued, he said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, I am ready. He said, I am ready. I'm not going to listen to the enemy excuses. Oh, I got to pay off my credit cards or the other excuse. I'm ready right now. God will take care of all the issues. My health, my financial issue, my family issue. He said, I am ready now. You know, if we're going to listen to the enemy excuses, he's going to bring tomorrow different excuses. And different. And we're never going to go. Jesus said, trust me. You're going under my authority and power. Paul said, I am ready to preach. And look at his life. He was ready. Remember when he went to Lystra and he was stoned there, dragged outside the city to die, and Jesus just raised him from the dead. The brothers and sisters all thought he was dead, and he just gave him another life. Where he goes next? In the hospital for 6 months? In the Northport, Florida for 6 months on the beach? Or to the Mediterranean Sea? He goes back to Lystra and Derbe to encourage the brothers and sisters that through many sufferings and beatings, we're going to enter the kingdom of God. And then a week later, he go to Philippi, and remember, he was beaten again. You imagine, he just was beaten by the stones, and his wounds just started healing up. They beat him by sticks again. He's in the jail with Silas. What they're doing there in the jails? They're singing and glorifying God. And then the earthquake come, and this the guy who was in charge to secure the jail, He got afraid because all the doors were open. He's about to kill himself. And Paul said, no, 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 don't do that. We're here. We're not going anywhere. We're not to escape. We're here to teach you about the Lord and present the gospel message. And he believes and he repents and his whole house baptized and was part of the church. Apostle Paul said, I am ready. I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I will go out from my comfort zone. I'll trust the Lord. Verse 15 in another translation says, I am eager to preach the gospel. What are we eager to do? Get nice lunch. Yeah, it's great. Buy a nice dress. Do nice hairstyle. Buy a nice truck. Buy a great rifle. Go get a big deer with a lot of horns there, 12 horn, whatever. They get a big one. They're big in Mountain View. Get a good buck. What are you eager to do? Watch Razorbacks. You're probably a different team here, some Oklahoma team. Watch some football team or basketball team. What are you eager to do? Paul said, I am eager to preach the gospel. His whole life, his finances, his energy, his thinking, his will to go out and preach the gospel. He said, I am eager to preach the gospel. I am ready to preach the gospel. That's my calling. That's my life. That's what I will do. And why he's doing it? In verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. That's what saves people. The message of Jesus Christ, of what he did on the cross, that's the gospel, that's redemption. And he said, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. He said, I don't care what people are going to say about me. I don't care how people are going to look at me. I don't care if people are going to laugh at me. My job, be his vessels, to go out and bring the message. I got to be ready. I got to be not ashamed. I got to be eager. That's what I will do. That's what I will do. I will not be ashamed because I am his vessel. And what he was doing. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you, ask you a question. On your devotion time, early in the morning, when you come to study the scripture and come with a prayer to God, I don't want to know the answer. Pastor Isaac doesn't want to know the answer. Ask yourself honestly, am I ashamed of the gospel? Do I do the Great Commission faithfully? Or I like to be in my comfort zone? Do I go out and invite people to the church? Do I give a tract? Do I give the church invitation? Do I build a relationship at work? Or I watch the game Razorbacks or San Antonio Spurs or whatever the team? Or I go hunt for the bucks or do the fishing or do the hairstyle? Do I talk to those hairstylists about the Lord? Or am I ashamed? Do I do it faithfully? The Great Commission. You know, and sometimes we look at our life and honestly we say, yeah, I'm ashamed. And sometimes we focus on the fruits. What's keep us down? We might say, oh, I present the gospel to this message. I gave the tract to this person. I gave a New Testament to this person. And nobody responded. I didn't see the fruit. We cannot change the person's hearts. It's not our job to make the fruits. We cannot make the person to believe and born again. Our job, bring the message. Bring the truth. And God will work it. And in his timing, he'll make it born again. Our job, be his vessels, present the truth, let the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work. Amen. And in three times, it's a win-win situation. What are the three times? If we present the gospel message or give it a tract or invite the person to the church and he comes and he hears the message and he believes and he repents or she repents and joins the church and go the full circle and go out and make disciples. Amen. We want the soul for the Lord and we rejoice, church rejoices, and heaven rejoices. And we encourage, but that's not gonna happen all the time. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes we're never gonna see the fruit here on earth. We give the gospel track, we give invitation to come, or we invite to the church, or we share what God did in our life, and the person gonna say, I'll think about it. I'm gonna read this track. Okay, I'm gonna read New Testament. Where do I start? Oh, Gospel of John, great. Okay, I came to church, I hear the message. Okay, I'm going to think about it. And sometimes it'll be a week. Sometimes it might take months. Sometimes it's going to take a year. Sometimes it'll take 5 years, 10 years. Sometimes it's going to take 20 years. And we're never going to see the fruit here on earth. Sometimes that person gonna go to the other church and join that church, and that church gonna reap the fruit. We plant the seed, the other church reap the fruit. God get the glory. We get the reward. God knows we're doing for His kingdom. But sometimes we're gonna see it in heaven. When we come to heaven and the person said, "Oh, thank you, Pastor Isaac. You know what? I came to your church once. I hear the gospel message, what Jesus did for me on the cross, how He paid the price in full, how He took on Himself my sin, my guilt, my punishment, my death, and He paid in full and gave to me His righteousness, His forgiveness, His eternal life, His inheritance, heaven forever with Him as a free gift." But I listened and someone was holding me there in the back pew. I wanted to come forward, but someone was holding me. And I back to my life, and I start good in business. I forgot about the church. I forgot coming to the church. But later, I got very sick, and I got in the hospital. And doctor told me, "You got 3 weeks to live." And that time, I start thinking about my life. I start thinking I'm going to meet God soon. Am I ready to meet God very soon in 3 weeks? And I remember your message. And the Holy Spirit started bringing to my mind what you taught me about the gospel, what Jesus did on the cross as a free gift. I got to just come to Him as I am and repent in broken heart and give my heart to Him. And I did it there in the hospital. By that hospital bed, I kneeled down and gave my life to the Lord and went to be with the Lord in 3 weeks. And now I'm in heaven. Thank you, Pastor Isaac. Thank you so much for that great message. God changed my life, and we're going to see it in heaven. This fruit we're going to see in heaven. And sometimes when we present the gospel message and the person rejects, it's not a good situation. The person says, "I am atheist. I don't like this Christianity. I don't like the Bible. Don't give me this track. And the person rejects. You know what? We are doing God's work. Because when that person gonna stand before God on the judgment day, because God is holy, God is just, this world gonna be judged justly. In book of Peter, Peter said, people think that God not gonna judge it and say, "Oh, when Jesus coming, nobody is coming." He is waiting and long-suffering for the repentance of everyone. But the day will come when He's gonna judge this world justly. This whole world gonna be burned up. It's day that's coming, and God is holy. And when that person gonna stand before God, God gonna say, "Remember you came to Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, and Pastor Isaac was preaching the message. You know what she rejected? That I, as God, came on this earth and paid for your sin completely. I paid the price, and it was a severe price. I have to die on the cross, very painful, severe death. I was mocked, I was left at, I was spat at. But I did it for you. The price is paid in full. You don't need to do anything. Just believe. Trust me." God is not asking us to put stones in our shoes, to go on the cross, or walk on the sharp nails, or put a hand on the burning stove. He just asks us to believe and repent. When I talk about God's judgment, it's going to be severe and serious. And in that moment, on the judgment day, God's holiness gonna be glorified, because God is holy. When we open book of Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1-3, and Isaiah see God on the throne in heaven, an archangel around Him with six wings, with two cover their face, with two cover their feet. They're saying day and night, what they're saying? "Holy, holy, holy God Almighty." When John in Revelation 4 see God on the throne and archangel around Him hovering the throne day and night, what they're saying day and night? "Holy, holy, holy God Almighty." God is absolutely holy. He created hell. The hell is truth. People believe it or not, God created, because sin will be judged. Because God is eternally holy. He is 100% holy. The sin will be judged. The sin was judged on the cross. And everybody who accept the Christ, the judgment was paid. Or if people reject it, they're going to pay by themselves. In hell, they're going to have body that's going to be burning and not burn out. The soul going to be in maximum depression and maximum loneliness. Some people say, "Oh, I'm going to have fun in hell." There's going to be no fun. You're going to pay alone, by yourself, in maximum depression and loneliness. And your spirit forever separated from God in darkness. Our message is very serious. It's very serious to reject Jesus Christ. And the person who did it, they're going to pay in hell forever. And God's holiness is going to be glorified. And we are His vessels. We are doing the job. And when people laugh at us, mock at us, reject it, it's not against us. Against Jesus Christ. They're going to stand before Him and answer on the judgment day. So in three times, win-win situation. We're not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel. We got to go out and make disciples. We go back in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, and Jesus continuing saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What He's saying here, when you make disciples, don't leave them as lone rangers. Bring them to the church. So they be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Bring them to the right church. Bring them to Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, where they're going to be taught all the truth, all the scripture in context. You know, there is so many false teachers, false gospel, prosperity gospel. When people take the verse out of context and preach for their pockets to be full, preach for money, for prosperity, and people like to hear what they itch and ear like to hear. I can name some of them. You probably know them. Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Joyce Myers, Maurice Cirillo, Casey Price, Casey Treat, and list goes on. Many, many, and they on TV, they big. We got to bring them to the right church where all the truth is preached, where they're going to go out themselves and make disciples, where their faith is going to grow on the right foundation. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So their faith built not on miracles, so-called miracles like Benny Hinn does, none of them is true, or emotions or other feelings, on the word of God, on the truth. Because you can fool people with miracles, with emotions. You cannot fool word of God. It is written. We got to teach it in context. And Jesus Christ continued there in verse 20. And He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And here He's emphasizing again. He said, I am. Who is the statement I am for? When we open book of Deuteronomy, God said, I am the only one God, the God of Israel. Then when Pharisee asked Jesus in Gospel of John, they said, who are you? Tell us clearly. And He said, I am. They took stones to stone Him. This was statement for God Himself. Jesus said, I am God in flesh. Destroy this temple. I will raise it up in 3 days. He said, I am. And Jesus Christ is saying to us here, I am as God, with all power and authority in heaven and on the earth. And in your personal life, to minute detail, I am sending you out and I'm going with you. And I'm going to be with you for how many times? Always. Amen. Even we think God is so far, He forgot about my sickness, about my job issue, financial issue. He's there. He's holding us on His arms and He's carrying us through these trials and troubles and sickness. He's there. Even hair not going to fall without His will. He said, I am with you always. Especially when we go out. He'll protect us. He'll give us wisdom what to say, what not to say. He'll give us boldness and courage. He said, I am with you always. And for how long? Until the end of the world. Until I come back and take you home. Dear brothers and sisters, I just pray that God will give you again, fresh understanding, fresh desire, fresh urge to go out, invite people to the church. Go out, give a tract, give an invitation, give a New Testament, and like Apostle Paul, say, I am ready. I am ready. I am ready to step out from your comfort zone to go out. Brothers and sisters, as never before, now is the time. You know that we live in the last days. You know this world is like a hit airplane going down and going down quick. You know how we can change our country, the United States. We got to pray for our country. We got to vote for our country. And we got to go out and change people of heart. We don't need to be sitting sorry. Oh, I'm sorry for my country. Pray, vote, go out and make disciples. Amen. And make disciples. about work in Belarus. God is doing great work. It's not our work. We're just his vessels. It's very hard to work in Belarus. It's a communist country. People are closed in. They don't trust government. They don't trust anybody. It's hard to give a tract on the street. Hard to give New Testament. People don't trust you. You got to build relationship. You got to invite people to your home. Give them tea, coffee, so they will see warm and friendly situation around. They'll open their heart. And first we talk about life, about their issue. We pray for them. And then we ask, what do you think about God? And they would say, oh, I was baptized in Eastern Orthodox Church when I was 1 year old, or Catholic Church. We never argue about religion. We ask them, would you like to hear what God did in my life, how he changed my life? And they said, yes. And we start presenting the gospel. And I draw the gospel on the board. And then we invite them again, and I water the seed that I planted. And then we invite them to the Wednesday Bible study and Sunday worship service. And we continue to soak them in the truth. God gave us 26 contexts, and six of them, the people that we invest most of the time, it's a hard work. They regularly start coming to our Wednesday Bible study and Sunday worship service. And some of them ready to baptize, ready to proclaim the change heart. And they're saying, where are you coming back? We're going back May 23rd. Come back. We miss your Bible study, prayers, and Sunday worship service. Come back. It's a hard work. It's not easy. God gave us 26 contacts. We pray for another family from Belarus to help us to reach those 20. It's one-on-one. Each person one-on-one, and it's 10 meetings, 12 meetings. Then people start coming Wednesday Bible study. It's not easy. We need to remember Jesus Christ sent us. He goes with us. We got to trust it and do his work. Also, God allow us to open Bible Institute. Even here in U.S., while we're in U.S., we do it via Skype. It's a four-year college. It's similar to Faith Bible Institute, like we have here in U.S. In Lithuania, where Pastor Joe was missionary, they started a church there. Now there is Indigenous Church. They did a Bible Institute there. 4 years, they recorded all in DVDs, translated in Russian. We watch the DVD, we go through materials, we send the homework to Lithuania. It's a four-year degree. When we came to Lida, Belarus, 100,000 people live there. We didn't know if there is a church there. Now we know there's a little small church, another one, Baptist church, 40 people. That's the people we do Bible Institute. Couple young families, we're trying to train them to be missionaries, to be church planners, to be Sunday school teachers, so they're going to grow up and go out and make disciples themselves. So gospel will go out. And also God opened the door among barbarian jail ministry. Life-term jail. God gave us 11 contacts through the letters. It's a hard work. They still sit in the jail and waiting to die because very serious criminals. One wrote me a letter, 14 pages letter. He said, I killed 3 people. I am very guilty. I am very afraid to meet God. My life is shattered. My relatives rejected me. I know I'm going to hell. I'm afraid to meet God. I cannot go from this jail and change my life. Is there is hope for me? I'm going to die. Is there is hope for me? Is there is salvation? Is Jesus Christ going to forgive me? And I say, yes. Amen. And great example, the thief on the cross. Remember two thieves? And one of them said to Jesus, remember me when you come to paradise. And what Jesus answered? We don't know how many people he killed. What kind of criminal? He was just criminal on the cross. He was big criminal. And Jesus might say, oh, you killed 15 people, not for you. No, Jesus said, yes, today you're going to be with me in paradise. His loving arms open to everyone. Gospel, grace, love, forgiveness open to everyone. And I said, repent. Turn 180 degrees from your sin. Turn your back to sin and your face to God and go to God in repentance, in humble and broken heart and say, Lord, I sinned before you in heaven. Forgive me. Come to my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And he's writing me back. He said, I did it. I repented. It's like a burden fall from my back. And I don't have guilt anymore. Jesus Christ forgiven me. Now I have eternal life. Now I'm not afraid to stand before God because I have his righteousness. What do I do next? He wants to go out. And he says, I cannot go out from the jail. What do I do next? I said, go in jail. Tell your friends what God did in your life. 7 of them came to the Lord. through letters. One of them wants to get baptized, and I believe God will allow me as U.S. citizen go to lifetime jail and baptize first the convert, and the church is going to be built up there. Pray for our work there. God is doing the work. He's the one who gets the glory. I just ask you, brothers and sisters, locally, go out and make disciples. Sometimes just simple, go out, invite people to the church, and let God do the rest of the work. To Him be the glory. Amen. Pastor Isaac.
Amen. Let's stand together and have our musicians come. This morning we want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know every person here. I can't see in your heart. Only you and God knows your heart. But if you're not 100% sure that if you were to meet God today, you would spend eternity in heaven, you can be sure today. Jesus Christ, we heard it on the cross. He said, "It is finished. It's paid in full. The price of our redemption has been paid." If you want to know for sure you have eternal life, He can forgive you. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done." It doesn't matter what you've done. Just like the man in the prison, murdered 3 people. It doesn't matter if you murdered 100 people. Jesus, His blood can cover every sin. He can forgive you, give you eternal life today. If you've never been saved, would you trust in Him? If you are saved, I want to challenge you to take up the call that you've been given. We've been reminded of the commission we've been given today, that you'll be a better witness for Jesus Christ, that you won't leave here today without making that commitment to share the gospel with others. You won't walk out of here today without making sure you got gospel tracts, ladies in your purse and fellas in your pockets, to take gospel tracts everywhere we go to be witnesses for the Lord. Maybe you've been a witness in the past. You've gotten away from it. You need to get back to it. I want to just tell you, Romans 1:16 is a verse that I hated in the Bible for a long time. Now, maybe that's crazy for your pastor to tell you that, but it's one of the most convicting verses in the Scriptures to me. Because when I am too afraid or too busy or too whatever to share the gospel with somebody else, you know what I'm doing? I'm being ashamed of the gospel. Listen, friends, let's don't be ashamed. It's the gospel that saved us. The gospel is the only hope for our community. It's the only hope for the world. It's the only hope for Muldrow. It's the only hope for Belarus. It's the only hope for mankind. Let's don't be ashamed of the gospel. If He's convicted your heart today, would you come right now while we sing?
Page 565.
Number 565. Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. A decision you need to make. Would you come?